We are now talking matter of fact with someone who's no stranger to the show, and she's from Africa Check. That's Kate Wilkinson, and she joins us today. We'll be looking at the middle class in a short while. Good afternoon, Kate.
Hi, Sonia.
So we've been hearing, I even said it just now, that this is the worst listeria outbreak worldwide.
Yeah, well, I was actually driving over when I heard you say it, so yeah. I thought that it would be a good idea. We can look at the middle class in a moment, mm-hmm. and I really hope that, you know, listeners will call in and let us know what they think the middle class are, because
I know
it's a really, we were actually having a discussion in the office this morning about if you think you're middle class, why? And then exactly. If you look at some of the definitions that are in this fact sheet that we've just printed, you might be quite shocked to see whether you do or don't fall into the middle class, and what's the cutoff and how do you judge it? So yeah. We'll have an interesting discussion there.
Sure.
But I did hear you say that it is the largest recorded outbreak in history.
Mm-hmm.
And it's actually something, I can see you're nervous.
Because
you
you're sort of
grimacing at me, waiting for me to press the buzzer.
Yeah. No, because we have these conversations about accurate information, you know?
We do. And I heard you say that it is, you know, the largest recorded outbreak of listeriosis in the world. And we actually looked at this claim a while ago because many of us will know this has actually been a problem for some time. For over a year, people have been getting sick, people have been dying, and the department's been trying to figure out where the outbreak is coming from. And people have made this claim, and we looked at it. And there are a few things we need to remember when we talk about outbreaks of listeriosis.
Mm-hmm.
The case is when someone gets sick, you can only say that they have listeriosis if it's confirmed by a lab.
Yes.
So if you go to your doctor and they look at you, they check your symptoms and they think, you know what, I think you probably have listeriosis, but you're healthy, you don't, your immune system isn't compromised, you're not elderly, mm-hmm. you know, I think you'll be fine, we'll treat it symptomatically. That's not recorded as a case of listeriosis.
Mm-hmm.
So the cases that we're seeing being released by the department, those are actually lab confirmed, tested and confirmed cases.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how we compare outbreaks. So we can go all the way back to 1997 when there was an outbreak in Italy, and there were over 1,500 cases, but only 300 of them were lab confirmed. And we didn't see the deaths that we're seeing in South Africa
right.
with this outbreak.
Mm.
And then more recently in 2011, the US had its largest outbreak to date. And that saw 147 people become sick with listeriosis and 33 people died. Of
the entire U.S. had an outbreak of 147 people.
Yeah.
We have, our outbreak is estimated to be at just under 1,000.
Mm. And we've had many more deaths
yes,
than they saw
yes.
at 33.
Sure.
So, and then we saw in 2013, there was a study of 32 countries in Europe. So remember, we can't compare all of these countries to South Africa, but there they identified 1,700 cases and 191 deaths.
I see.
So we remember this. So this is across a continent as opposed to in a country.
Mm-hmm.
So definitely the numbers that we're seeing in South Africa are definitely the highest in recorded history.
Mm.
But there are two important points to make. The first is there could have been, and experts say it's probably likely that there have been outbreaks around the world which haven't been recorded.
Right.
And we can't compare South Africa to those because we don't know what the numbers were.
Mm.
And secondly, and this points to the need and often the imbalance when it comes to data around the world for lower income countries.
I know.
A study identified that there were 85 mostly lower income countries for which there's no data. We have no idea about outbreaks in those countries or infections or deaths. So we can't say, you know, whether in the history, in the world, if it's the largest outbreak. We can only talk about recorded cases.
Mm-hmm.
And definitely when it comes to that, South Africa currently has the largest outbreak.
Thank you for clarifying that.
You got it right today.
But this came from the health department itself. So
yes.
So they got it right.
Yeah, we like to be skeptical of everyone.
Yeah,
so.
Exactly. So let's talk about the middle class. We'll be looking at what is the middle class, you know, how it's measured, the points of difference about what is and what isn't considered middle class. But also want to hear from people who self-identify as middle class and why they feel that those markers identify them as middle class. Because this debate often rages about how it's classified. So back then, we used to use things like LSM, that lifestyle measure, you know, that's quite popular in marketing. And then Unilever, at the dawn of democracy, did the Black Diamond study that had everybody so excited. And it was also criticized, you know, and shot down down for a number of reasons later. Later on. But at the time, there was a lot of excitement and it was used as a measure. So your thoughts on just broadly how we've approached this issue?
So I think that when it comes to South Africa and to economies, generally a decrease in poverty and then a growing middle class is seen as a desirable feature of an economy. And that's definitely what we've seen in South Africa, is that there has been a policy drive, especially from an economic policy point of view, that we've tended to use the growth or the size of the middle class as a yardstick of how South Africa is doing when it comes to the economy and whether our policies are actually allowing for more people to enter the middle class, but also importantly for the middle class to become more representative, especially when it comes to demographics and race of the South African country as a whole, because historically the middle class was not representatives and it was largely white. And the reason that we and policymakers and governments like to think about the middle class and whether it's growing is because it's believed to have knock-on effects. It does things like increased spending power, better education, we have a trained workforce, we have more investment, we have job creation. So it's generally seen as a good thing. The next question is, how do we measure this good thing?
Yes.
And what good thing are we measuring? We were talking today in the office about how for some people think, if you have a car, you're middle class. Or if you have DSTV, you're middle class.
But look, drive around and you'll see where dishes are, DSTV dishes.
So what we did is we've published a fact sheet which looks at five different ways that have been used to measure the middle class in South Africa. Mm-hmm. It's not an exhaustive list. It's just five main ways that are detailed and explained. So you can get an idea of what we're talking about, but you can also see the vast disparity in some of these measures and the way that we use them to try and put our finger on the size and the growth of this group.
Mm-hmm. So what is the first one?
So the first one is self-identification. And that is, if you think you're middle class, then you are middle class.
Is it as simple as that? It's really, Kate, if you think you are.
So because the middle class doesn't have a broadly accepted definition and it's somewhat vague, it's somewhere between being rich and being poor, there is a sort of argument that, if it is in definition, if you think you're middle class, then that's all that it takes. And it allows for people with varying ideas to identify as being middle class. Mm-hmm. So there's actually a world survey that was done. It's called the World Value Survey. And it very simply just asked people to say what class they think they fell into.
Yeah.
And they had a number of classes. At the top, there was upper class, and then at the bottom, there was lower class. And what it found was that around 30% of South Africans identified as falling into the middle class, which was made up of an upper middle class and a lower middle class.
Okay, so 30%.
Yeah, and when we looked at South Africa's black population, it was slightly lower, just 24.4% of black people identified as being middle class. Mm-hmm. But interestingly, of the whole middle class as a whole, just over 60% of that group was black. So they were definitely in the majority in that middle class.
Yes, but only 24% said
of all black people in South Africa. There are some major drawbacks. They're pretty obvious. This is a very subjective measure. Mm-hmm. People don't always answer truthfully. And there are a few issues with the data. For example, about a quarter of the people who identified as being middle class also said that their family in the last year had gone without food to eat.
Yeah.
And that's not often how we think about middle class people. Mm. So it shows a bit of a disconnect between what we think of as middle class and how people are identifying as middle class.
Yes. And then there are other ways, of course, that we'll get to. So the question today is, do you self-identify as middle class? And what makes you self-identify that way? Is it that you have a car, you have a job, you have some savings, you haven't gone hungry or over the past month or so, or that your income is at a particular level? So that's one way, self-identifying as middle class. So we'll get to the others after the break with Kate Wilkinson after this. So your calls on 011-883-0702 and 31702 for your SMSs. And we're back with having a look at how the middle class is measured. There are so many different approaches to this. Can actually get quite confusing. So, Kate, we had the first one, self-identification. So I'm there. I regard myself as part of the middle class for X reasons. But this is incredibly subjective. Mm. So what other measures are there?
So you can go from the subjective, like we've just spoken about, with self-identification. And then you can go for a more objective measure. And that would be to look at the literal middle when it comes to income in South Africa. Mm-hmm. And how this is typically done is you identify characteristics, so in this case it's personal income.
Right.
And then you look at the group of people who fall in approximately the middle. You then have to decide what is approximately the middle. So there was a study which was done, and it was a 2013 study, and the academics decided that they were going to consider the middle class to be people who earned, so we have median income, let's start there. Mm. Median income is the point, the rand value, where half of the population earns less and half earns more. Mm. It's not the average, because the average can be pulled up by high earners.
Right.
So what this academic then did was said, we're going to consider the middle class to be people who earn between 50% of median income to 150% of the median income. Mm-hmm. And what the results showed was that a third of households in South Africa that way can be considered middle class. But when you actually look at the rand figures, they're a lot lower than you would expect.
Yeah, you think of our inequality and the Gini coefficient in this country, so it would be lower.
So if you look at the middle range of incomes in South Africa, because of our incredibly wide inequality, it means that these aren't large amounts of money that people are making.
Mm.
So for 50% of median income, this is someone earning 380 rand per month up to 1,140 rand per month. So we've got a more objective measure. It's not whether you identify,
yes,
but because of our extreme inequality, there's no way that we can say this is an affluent group.
No, no.
And like one of my colleagues pointed out, it could mean that you're receiving a grant from government.
And you're middle class.
And you're considered middle class.
Mm.
So, you know, because of our inequality, this is one way to measure it. It does give us numbers which look a bit off what we consider middle class to be.
Yeah.
But that's the other way, which puts the middle class at around 30%.
Oh, my goodness. And then there was the universal range, comparing with other countries as well.
Yeah. So what this does is it sets an international level, an international range, and allows us to compare. So we can go to Credit Suisse, who did a study. And what they did was they looked at net worth, not earning. And they said, your middle class, if your net worth is between about 120,000 rand and 1.2 million rand.
Mm-hmm.
And using this, they estimated that around 28.5% of the population was middle class. And then with the African Development Bank, they didn't look at net worth. Rather, they looked at consumption and spending per day.
Yeah.
But their figures were much lower. They put it at between 24 rand per day and 240 rand per day. And using that, as you would expect, quite a higher proportion, around 43.2% of the population.
This is so dizzying, because then if we go back to how you break down the classes, then this expectation that we'd be sitting at more or less, what, 15,000 rand a month, and so on, maybe 10 and above, that would be maybe an entry into middle class. But these estimates say it's much lower than that.
Well, that's where it gets interesting, is that there's no consensus on what the middle class is. And when you come to defining and measuring it, your perceptions and what you want to measure is going to determine how you measure it.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe people like the African Development Bank and Credit Suisse have a very particular idea of the middle class for the work that they want to do,
right,
and the potential that they see in that group.
And we must always remember that, right, when we approach research.
Absolutely.
It's about also the objectives or whatever it is you want to achieve out of that.
Absolutely.
Mm. And then occupation.
Yeah, so there is a way of thinking about the middle class, that it's about the jobs that you have. If you're middle class, if you're a manager, if you're a senior official, if you work for government, and in order to enter the middle class, you need to break into these more professional
careers.
Yes,
there was a time when it was vocational or profession. Mm.
So academics have also measured it this way. And what they did was they looked at the highest earner that has a typically middle class occupation. I love that phrase, typically middle class. And so they measured things like managers and senior officials, and they considered this group to be the relatively affluent middle class. And using that, they found that a third of the population could be considered, just under a third could be considered middle class. And if we look at the income bracket, it's a little bit higher than what we've mentioned previously.
Mm-hmm,
that
mm-hmm,
was between 1,400 rand and 10,000 rand.
A little bit, literally a little bit
But
higher.
Also quite a very wide range.
It is.
The lifestyles and the opportunities presented to someone earning 1,400 rand per month
and
10,000 rand a month are worlds apart.
Yeah.
And it's strange to think that those two people would be considered to both be
absolutely
middle class.
Yes, and the conditions and circumstances would be the same.
Absolutely.
And then the final one, vulnerability.
Mm. So this is a very interesting study, which was done by Seldrew, and they're based at UCT. And what they did was they said they tried to rethink how we think about middle class. Mm. And they said, they asked the question, what sets the middle class apart from the working class and the poor? And when it comes to their daily life, what is different? And what they said is that it's the improbability of falling into poverty. Mm-hmm. It's that you have a certain amount of security and stability that even if you lost your job, even if you were ill and couldn't work, or you had a car crash or the roof fell in on your house after a storm, mm-hmm. you would have a certain amount of stability and security that you wouldn't fall into poverty.
Yeah.
And that's a very different way of thinking about it. It's not just about how much money you earn. It's about how your resources are structured and the opportunities you have.
Mm.
And what they estimated is they said that 13.5% of South Africans can be considered middle class.
13.5%. So we're back to the low percentages again.
Back to a low percentage.
Of the population, at least, yeah.
And the reason they said that is because often when people measure middle class, they say, oh, this group, this person can afford this basket of goods to feed themselves, right. or they can afford this.
Right.
But it doesn't take into account that maybe next month, they can't afford this. Mm-hmm. And we know with the way that income works and vulnerability and poverty, that situations change from not just day to day, week to week, month to month. So this is a very interesting study, which puts it at a much lower percentage than we've seen.
Yeah.
We saw, 40 odd percent in other measures because of the vulnerability that exists in South African society.
Do you think these measures are still relevant considering how the world is changing? Because we have precarious work, we have freelance. The world of work in general, which allows people to provide for themselves, is changing. More and more countries are discussing or looking at universal income, So they all these moving parts that kind of render these measures a little bit obsolete in some ways.
I can understand that take on it. And I think that if you're going to use these numbers, what's important is that you're clear, because we've seen past presidents, we've seen corporates, and we see unions talking about the middle class, but they never say what they're talking about.
Mm.
So first, we need to interrogate if it's useful. And then second, if we're going to use it, we need to be clear. We need to acknowledge that there isn't consensus, and we need to be transparent about the way that we're measuring it so that people can interrogate it and understand exactly what's being presented.
And that's exactly why we have Matter Effect.
Exactly why.
Exactly why. So all of this is available on the Africa Check website.
Absolutely.
If you want to take a greater look, a much more closer look at how all of these have been measured, the kind of issues that they raise, you can compare to better assist you even next time when you mention the middle class, or put that forward as, a case to be argued, or a reason behind some proposal of sorts, understand exactly what you are using. So it's so useful. Thank you so much, Kate.
Thank you, Zanya.
All available on africacheck.org.